The thought for this sermon came as a result of a sermon that Pastor Doug Fisher preached. He preached out of this text. He preached it a different way than I'm going to preach it, so I'm not going to preach his message. But some of the thoughts will be incorporated into the sermon, so I'm just giving credit where credit is due. Ultimately, this comes from the Lord for sure, but I also was blessed to have the opportunity to hear a sermon in this passage. It really helped me to understand something about it that I did not know before. I pray it's a blessing to you as well. That passage is Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And there's a companion passage to it, so I'd like you to turn there as well. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And the companion passage is Matthew chapter 7. Now tonight, I'll probably show a video of briefly of what happened, just like I did the other time. Y'all enjoyed that so much. For those of you here who were there on that Sunday night, that was the funniest thing I have seen in a while. For those of you who don't know, I was going to show them just a clip of me preaching in English being interpreted in Russian when we took the trip to Ukraine. And when we had it set up there, it just had time to cook for a little while. And so when we showed it, I was preaching in Russian and the interpreter was speaking English. It was the funniest thing you've ever. It was way out of sync. Perfectly out of sync, as a matter of fact. It was that was a gas. I don't know if we can do anything that good. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Let's read. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that's Jesus, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples, he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now he's going to give them a parable here to emphasize a portion of this prayer. He said in verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Now watch. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and we'll explain what that word is, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. There's good stuff in here. You were teaching your disciples to pray, and today you can show us something about this passage that will be very beneficial to us. I know it's been very beneficial to me. Lord, we pray while you do this that you will help us with several things. First of all, Lord, we'll be here for the next 45 minutes. It's easy in that period of time to be distracted multiple times by our own thoughts or by sounds around us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us not to be distracted, but to be concentrated on the things that we're hearing today. Lord, we also know that what's here is something that we can live on. We can learn this today, and then we can live on this for the rest of our lives. And so it's that important, and we pray, Lord, that you will edify us so that not only we hear it and understand it, but that we remember it and know how to change our lives in accordance with what we've heard to accomplish your will in our lives. Father, we pray that you're glorified in all of this. Your word is magnified. It's even possible somebody here today is not saved. And if that's the case, Father, we pray that through the preaching of the Word of God, they too will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. For we ask you to do all these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, the companion passage to what we've read is Matthew chapter 7. You've already turned there, perhaps. Let's not forget what we've read. Let's not lose our place, but let's go to Matthew 7 because we need to notice something in Matthew 7 that helps us understand a little more about what we read in Luke chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's what he said in Luke. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, he will give him a stone, or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? We read all this in Luke. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven? Luke said, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him, and Matthew says, give good things to them that ask him. Notice, he didn't just limit it to the Holy Spirit. He said he give good things to them that ask him. Now, these are companion passages. Matthew and Luke are not contradictory. They're supplemental. So he gives the Holy Spirit and he gives good things. The Holy Spirit is a good thing. And he gives good things to them that ask him. All right, so as we look at this passage of Scripture and we're learning from this passage how to pray, because the disciples said to the Lord in verse 1, teach us to pray. One of the things he said, I want you to know how to pray, is give us day by day our daily bread. That's what he said in verse 3. Well, on the one hand, daily bread is a good thing. It is for our nourishment. It is for our food. We ask him for our daily bread in the same way that a son would go to his father and say, Father, I need bread, or Father, I need fish, or Father, I need an egg. All those are things that he can eat. All those are things that can nourish his body. They are for his physical nourishment. Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, what did he feed them? Fish and bread. When he fed the 4,000, same thing, bread and fish. There's a time in John chapter 21 after Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The disciples have gone fishing. Jesus is on the shore. They recognize him finally. They come to the shore. When they come to the shore and bring all those fish to the shore, the Lord has already prepared a meal for them and he says, come and dine. What does he give them? Bread and fish. So those are common things to nourish the body. And it's important to understand, you know, you're going to go to lunch in a little while. And when you do, you're going to bow your head and you're going to thank the Lord for your food. You know, that's not just a superstition. It's not a superstition at all to like some way take the curse off the food so you can eat it. You really are thanking the Lord for his provision. You are showing your gratitude for the food that you're able to afford to buy or the food that you have in your home that you're going to eat. Now, when you read through the Proverbs, and you get to Proverbs chapter 30, which if you're reading Proverbs by the day, you read just recently, that proverb is written by a fellow named Agur. And in that proverb, he says to the Lord, feed me with food convenient for me. He says, I don't want you to cut me short, because if you do, I may curse you. I don't want to be poor. I'm not asking for that. But then at the same time, he says, I don't want to be full, because when I'm full, I might forget that it came from you. So just feed me with food that is convenient for me. You know, that's a good place for us to be. It's good for us to be in a relationship with the Lord where we truly have to look to him for our daily provision. We don't want to be in such a way that we are independent of the Lord's provision. Now, you may be blessed with sufficient provision. Your house is paid for, car is paid for, money in the bank. Thank God for that. But never assume that you can live on that without the Lord's blessing and provision. You always want to remember that what's on that table, God gave you, and you always want to be in a place where, Lord, I'm asking for this food. You know, the Lord said, I'm going to do that for you. Listen, he said, there's not a man among you if you had a son. and your son came and asked for bread, you'd give him a stone, or if he asked for a fish, you'd give him a serpent, or if he asked for an egg, you'd give him a scorpion. You see, you wouldn't do that to your son. And if you are evil and you know how to give good things to your children, just imagine how your Father is going to give you good things if you ask him for food. That's a great thing. And his daily bread is good. He says, how much will your Father give good things to them that ask him? And you know, there are times when you sat down, it didn't look like much of a meal to anybody else, but you savored it and savored every bite and were able to thank God. This is good food and I thank you for your provision. But you know, this prayer is not, because you could tell by the parable, this prayer that he taught them to pray is not just about our daily bread, although we should constantly live in that relationship with the Lord. He's also talking about our spiritual necessity, not just our physical necessity. Because the Lord, in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, gave his disciples a parable to illustrate spiritually what it means to ask for daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. In this parable, let's read it again so we know where we are. Verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, watch it, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I can't rise and give thee. Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So what we have in this parable is there's a fellow who has a friend that comes to him on a journey. That's in verse 6. And the fellow has nothing to set before his friend. So what the fellow does is he goes to his friend and he says, lend me 3 loaves. 3 loaves. Because it's midnight when the fellow asks his friend for the loaves, the friend is reluctant to give him. He's like, it's midnight. I mean, I'm asleep. I'll disturb my kids if I get up right now. We're not going to do this. He says, you know what? This fellow's not going to rise up and give him the food, the loaves, because he's his friend. They're good friends, but not that good. No. He said, but he said he's going to get up and he's going to give him those loaves because, verse 8 says, of his importunity. What is his importunity? To be importunate, to be importunate is to be troublesomely urgent. This reminds me of a 2-year-old child that will not take no for an answer. Overly persistent in request or demand. That's importunate. In other words, let me give you some synonyms for importunate. Burning, compelling, dire, pressing, urgent. So you get it? So what's happened is, what? Hey, I got this buddy that just showed up and I don't have anything to feed him. He's hungry. Give me 3 loaves. Lend me 3 loaves. I can't. I'm asleep. The kids are down. I'll bring them in the morning. What? I really need 3 loaves. I told you. I'll give them to you in the morning. What? By this time, the kids are awake, right? I'm not taking no for an answer. The guy's hungry. He's a friend of mine. You know our custom. When they come under the roof of your house, we got to take care of them. Give me the food. I told you in the morning. I told you tonight. Okay. And he gives him. It's just, he's not, the fellow came to his friend and was not going to take no for an answer. He had to take care of this guy. Now, let's get the connections here. We are the fellow that has nothing. I said, we are the fellow that has nothing. I have, spiritually, I have nothing to set before somebody that comes to me. Jesus said, without me, you can do how much? Nothing. You know, when it comes to helping other people with their spiritual needs, sometimes we think some of us are better suited than others because we have just the right personality. Nothing. Sometimes we think we can really, some of us can be more helpful than another because man, he's so compassionate. He really cares for people that are in a need like that. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. It doesn't make any difference how smart we are, how much Bible we've read, how long we've been saved, how close we walk with the Lord. I'm talking about our end of the deal. We, listen, have nothing when it comes to spiritual food to set before a friend on a journey. Nothing. Yet we have friends that need something. We all have friends that need something. Spiritually. From us. But we have nothing. This is a predicament. So we go to our friend. In verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight saying, and friend, lend me 3 loaves. You know who that friend is? That's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's our friend Jesus Christ. He said, I have called you friends. That's our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we go to our friend. And when we go to him, the Bible says we ask him for, in verse 5, 3 loaves. That's important. We'll talk about those 3 loaves. And when we go, we ask with importunity. In other words, have you ever done this? You know somebody that has a need and they say, would you pray for my need? And you go to the Lord and say, Father, they have that need. Please take care of it. And then that's kind of the last you... Yeah. I do that all the time. You tell me, pray for me. I pray once and good. No, kidding. Sometimes... Sometimes, I hate to admit it, you say, pray for me about this, and then a week later you say, thank God for praying for me, and I'm like, mm. I don't say you're welcome. Praise the Lord! Thank God somebody was praying. But he didn't say that, he said with importunity. He's talking about, God, this person is a friend of mine. They have a desperate need. They're lost. They don't know Jesus Christ. They're in desperate need of counsel. They don't have it. God, please give me 3 loaves. And we don't ask once and we don't go away till we've got the 3 loaves. Do you understand? And you know, if you think, just think about your prayer life. I'm thinking about mine while we're talking. Woo. How importunate have we been on behalf of friends that have spiritual needs? Do we need this message? Yeah, I need this message. Because he said, I have the loaves. I'm not making it convenient for you when you come to me. He's given us a picture of a man who's given a few excuses. The Lord's not going to not give us because we're not his friend. He's going to say, I want you to ask and seek and knock. And don't go away until you get the food. We are to ask with importunity, with urgency, with compelling, dire, pressing requests, knowing that we are going to receive what we're asking for. He said, if you ask, you will receive. Everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. He said, you stay there long enough, you will get the loaves. But don't just run up there and knock one time and expect me to come to your rescue every time like that. Sometimes I want you to stick around and have some time with me, even if it takes all day. Because you have a friend in need. And I have what your friend needs. You have nothing. I've got it. And I will give it to you. Is that what it says? Now, what do these 3 loaves stand for? Why 3 loaves? They stand for something. These three loaves stand for something spiritually connected to bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. They are, Matthew 7:11 says, good things. These are good things. And they are three things that the Lord gives us that we can then give to our friends that have need of something to be set before them. What are they? Well, the first thing is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Keep your finger where you are. Go to John chapter 6 and look at this. Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 verse 47 said this. John chapter 6 is a long chapter. There's a lot about bread in there. We'll come back to this chapter, as a matter of fact, in just a minute. But notice what he says. In John chapter 6 verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. You say, well, I've already got Jesus Christ. I received Jesus Christ when I got saved. Why would I have to come then to the Father and ask for Jesus Christ? I've already got him. Well, we're not asking for him as if we need to be saved again. I talked to a fellow one time and I said, are you saved? He said, yes, I am. I said, how'd you get saved? He said, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Really, tell me about it. He said, every morning I get up and I pray for Jesus Christ to save me. That's not what he's talking about here. No, what you've come to the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and you received him as your Savior, you have the bread of life. You have Jesus Christ. But what we're asking is, we want Jesus Christ to give us of himself in this capacity so that we have him to give to somebody else. You say, well, that seems a little bit strange. You know, think about this. You already moved off the passage, so leave John chapter 6 and go over to Acts chapter 8. Let me show you an instance where Acts chapter 8, somebody that had Jesus Christ was able to give Jesus Christ to somebody else that didn't have him. In Acts chapter 8, you know what we're dealing with here? We're dealing with the passage on the Ethiopian eunuch. All right? In verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, the angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. All right, there is a man on that road. We call him the Ethiopian eunuch in verse 27. He is an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. You know what he is? He's on a journey. He's on a journey and he doesn't know Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, you go over there and meet this man on that journey. Well, when he comes over there, he finds the Ethiopian eunuch reading Isaiah. Verse 30, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And said, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? He desired Philip he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth, and his humiliation and judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him what? Jesus. And that eunuch got saved and that eunuch got baptized because Philip went down there and had some bread to give to a hungry soul who needed everlasting life. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He had gone to Philip, the Bible shows us he was a man full of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 6, and he was a man who could also preach, as you see, in a great revival that happened in Samaria, and God said, okay, I need you to take some of that bread down to that guy on that road to Gaza, and he goes down there. He doesn't know what that guy's going to be doing. How the Lord arranged the circumstances so that their meeting was precisely at the time that that eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. About the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now, give him the bread. You know something? Listen. There are times when your path has crossed with another person's path who needed the bread of life, but you had not gone to the Father and gotten enough bread to feed that person. And so you didn't preach Jesus. You say, well, yeah, but that's because, you know, I just come to church. You're the pastor. Brothers and sisters, this happens to every one of us all the time. Unfortunately. You see, the first part of this trip we took to get some rest. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord honestly allowed us to completely unplug. I'm not getting texts and emails. We're like kids. We're just having a great time. And the last day that we were in this little town, we're getting ready to leave that afternoon. We're sitting down in a restaurant that has a patio overlooking kind of the main drag, which it wasn't much, about from here to the nursery. And we're sitting there, and lots of people want to sit out on this patio, and another couple comes up with a dog, and I said, why don't you just sit with us? And they do, and we're talking knowledgeably about things. I've read some books on the things. He's a logger. I knew some things. You know, we're talking about different things. As the conversation is coming to a close, we don't know it's coming to a close. Wasn't a very long conversation. He says to me, they've been doing some legal things. I said, oh, kind of getting your wills and stuff in order. No, he said, my brother committed suicide less than a year ago and left this estate in shambles, and we're the ones now that have to deal with all the paperwork. As a matter of fact, he said, and I just finished up cancer treatment and stood up and I got to go. That man desperately needed Jesus Christ. And for 3.5 days, we've been knocking off. I'd been doing my Bible reading, a little bit of praying, but we were resting. And I had nothing to give him. I thought about it. I even Pastor Fisher preached, and the way he preached this was different, but it had some crossover, some connection. I went up to him and I said, I now know why I didn't have anything to give that man that day. I hadn't been praying for 3 days that the Lord would give me something so if I ran into somebody, I would have something to give. A man whose brother just committed suicide and who's just come out of cancer treatment, who's got old and gray hair, needs Jesus. I don't tell you that to shame myself or to sound all apologetic. I'm telling you that to tell you I understand when I tell you your path has crossed somebody that needed Jesus and you didn't have bread to give him that day. I know exactly how you're taking it, and I'm taking it the same way. Yeah. It could be a neighbor, it could be a coworker. Could be a boss or an employee, could be a friend. You don't know how the Lord is going to cross your path, but we need to go to our friend Jesus Christ and bang on that door and say, Lord, I need enough of you in my life so that if somebody else comes along hungry for Jesus, I got something to give them. The bread of life. Peter was hungry and fell into a trance, and the Lord came and said, you need to go to Cornelius' house. He's a Gentile. I'm not going down there. He goes down to Cornelius' house. Man, Cornelius has got his kinsmen and his family there. Thank God Peter came with enough bread when he started preaching Jesus Christ. Before he ever even offered an invitation, the Holy Spirit came down on them and they all got saved. Boy, you want enough of Jesus Christ in you that people understand you're just a vessel. It's not about, I have nothing to set before Him. It's not about us and what we know and where we've been and who we know and why we're here. It's about Jesus. But that's not all. He said He's going to ask for 3 loaves. Well, we see one of them certainly is Jesus Christ. But another one of those loaves is the Word of God, our daily bread. Jesus said when he's being tempted by the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is that word of God? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that it's the sword of the Spirit. Comparing the word of God, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, I read something interesting the other day. I was reading about Gideon. Remember Gideon? How with 300 men, he defeated 135,000 Midianites. That was a big deal. Remember that? All right, well, he was pretty scared to go into that battle, so he told the Lord, hey, put some water on the fleece, dry ground, wrings it out. He said, that was pretty good. This time I want you to put water on the ground and dry fleece. And it had happened. And the Lord said, after he got his army together of 300 men, he said, in case you're still scared about this, why don't you go down there to the edge of the camp, and I'll give you another sign. So he goes down with his armor bearer to the edge of the camp, and there's two guys that are talking about a dream. One of the soldiers says to another guy, I dreamed that this bread, a cake of barley bread, rolled into my tent and knocked it down. And the other soldier said, this is nothing but the sword of Gideon. Bread. Cake of barley bread. Sword of the Word of God. You get the connection? That other loaf, another loaf that he needed was the Word of God. The Word of God is what we need to be able to give them. Why? Because the Bible says we're born again by the Word of God. In James chapter 1, you are to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says, just picking up these parts of the verse, being born again by the Word of God. You see, we read the Bible a lot of times and it's just to get us on track. And buddy, we need to stay in it a pretty good while just to stay on track. But he said, I want you to get into that Word. When you come to me for the Word of God, I want you to get into that Word not only to take care of your own necessities, your daily bread. I want you to get enough so when you cross paths with somebody, you'll have something to give them. Something to give them. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How are we doing? Are we all together on this? We're doing well? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. They need Jesus. And hath given to us, that's you and me, the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is to let the world know that they have been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word. What is that? Committed unto us the what? The word of reconciliation. He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, because Christ's not here doing it, except he's doing it through us. Be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in us. Do you realize that we have the word of reconciliation? We are ambassadors for Christ. And so when we go to the Bible, I know that we read it to get strong in the Word of God. We need it to feed our souls and to be edified and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of that. But we also read getting an arsenal, if you will, of the Word of God. So when we are approached by, somebody comes to us in a journey or we are cross paths with somebody, we have something from that Word that the Holy Spirit can give them that ministers reconciliation to them by which they can be saved. And here's the deal. He's not talking about, this is not, you know us, we haven't done programs of salvation or some little 3-point, 5-point thing. I preach, and so I preach with outlines. You're preaching with an outline today. I think it's good to have a message. The gospel ought to be in your heart well enough to be able to preach the message of God, of salvation. But when a person comes to you in need, you don't know what it is in their lives that speaks to the necessity of their heart. And usually it's not, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You get there. Usually it's something else. It is a hunger, it is a necessity that is fed by the Word of God. And so we want to be in a place where we've gone to the Lord and said, Lord, you might use me today to speak this, or you may even know my friend, my cousin, my brother, my neighbor, my coworker needs Jesus Christ. And Father, I don't know, I don't have the discernment that you have, what the spiritual necessity is from the Word of God, what verse of Scripture speaks to that man's heart, speaks to that woman's heart, but you know. Please give me the word of reconciliation that I may give this good thing to my friend that's come hungry. I have nothing to set before him. You got it all. Give me what he needs. Give me what she needs. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Stay with it. God's got something for them. You say, why is he delaying? Because the timing is not right. I'm telling you, when the timing is right and you show up with Jesus Christ and you show up with the Word of God, it's just like what happened to Cornelius. It's just like what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. They get it. And sometimes you may go and just say, here's a loaf of bread. It's not enough that they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've given them the bread that they needed for that place on the journey. Then you trust the Holy Spirit to give them somebody else who will also tell them about Jesus and the Word of God later, but you had to give them the peace that you gave them so they would be ready for the peace they're going to get later. We see it's Jesus Christ. That's one loaf. The bread of life is the Word of God, which is likened to bread by which we live. And it's also, and the Lord tells us so we can get it in case we can't make the connection. Go back to Luke chapter 11. He tells you what the third loaf is. In verse 13, he tells you what the third loaf is. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what? The what? Yeah. The Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. You say, I already got the Holy Spirit. Why do I need to be asking for more of the Holy Spirit? What's that all about? Well, you already got Jesus Christ too. But what happens is, listen. Do you know that you can talk to somebody about something that's in that Bible? And you talk to them about Jesus Christ? And if the Holy Spirit doesn't get in that thing, Jehovah's Witnesses are all over this city talking out of a Bible. I grant you it's not the King James Bible. They're talking out of a Bible and they're talking about Jesus. And you know what they're giving people? Stones, serpents, and scorpions. Mormons all over this town riding on bicycles, white shirts and a tie. Oops. Oops. What are they giving them? They're talking about Jesus? They are. And they use the King James Bible. Yeah, and if they ever refer to the Bible, mostly they don't. They refer to the Book of Mormon. If they refer to the Bible, they're talking out of the book. And you know what's happening? Stones, serpents, and scorpions. Why? No Holy Spirit. Today, I grew up in Catholicism, I know this. They have read through an epistle. They have read through an Old Testament passage and a gospel. And they have been talking about Jesus. Stones. Statues. Serpents and scorpions, all connected with the devil. No salvation if no Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. 24, 25, 26. I said 23, I meant 24, but that's because I'm going somewhere. End of the chapter. Luke chapter 24. Jesus Christ, there's the man, Jesus Christ, right? He's standing there on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24 with them. They don't realize he's risen from the dead, verse 24. Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Him they saw not. So the women have come back and said, he's risen. Some disciples went down there, Peter and John. They said, he's not there. So we've heard from the women, we've heard from the disciples that they didn't find him there. In verse 23, they said they'd seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. Verse 25, Jesus, the Word of God, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the sayings concerning himself. And they still didn't get it. Jesus is there. Word of God is there. Watch what happens, verse 31. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn with us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Then they got it. Look at verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we were listening to this and Pastor Fisher took us to this passage of Scripture, he had taken us to John 1st, where the Lord breathed on them the Spirit. Now they start to get it. Now they're putting it together. Peter couldn't put two verses together. If he tried, you see him in Acts chapter 2 filled with the Spirit of God, and he's quoting from Joel and quoting from Psalms, and he's going all over the Bible. Where'd that come from? Spirit of God! He says, you're going to feed these people. You're going to need something from the Holy Spirit. Listen. Look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Remember, you know, he said, I'm the bread of life. Believe me, you have everlasting life. Watch what happens after a person gets saved after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, verse 37. Oh, by the way, Bo, let's go John 6 first. John 6 first and then John 7. John 6. Look at verse 35. That shouldn't be hard for you to get to. I hear a lot of pages turn to 7, 6, that's one page. Okay, John 6, 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Watch it. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. We got that. And he that believeth on me shall never what? Thirst. How does that thirst get quenched? John chapter 7. Now John chapter 7. Here's how the thirst gets quenched. In John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So sure, you have the Holy Spirit. You got him the moment you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you got him all. And he got all of you. But you know what the Bible tells us? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I know you've been looking at a lot of scripture. You need to see this. Turn to Acts chapter 4 with me, please. Acts chapter 4. I could show you a lot more scripture, and I don't want to do that to you tonight or today. What I want to do is just is let you see it for yourself so you'll understand. When Jesus said to them in Luke chapter 11, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'll give that to you. He wasn't talking like pre-Calvary only. He was talking about this. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. They'd already been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Now they're filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? They spake the Word of God with boldness. With boldness. You see, what the Lord said is, He said, children, sons, come to me as a father. And I need to give you three loaves. I need to give you enough of myself so you have me to give to those that come hungry. You need enough of the Word of God so that it's not just five little verses and a prayer. It's the verse of Scripture that they need to address the place of their hunger. And you need the Holy Spirit so you can speak that Word with boldness and so that they can understand it. There is a Spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. You see, in the admonition, I'm going to just go right here. Back here in Luke chapter 11, when he said that man went and asked for three loaves, Jesus gave us three instructions: ask, seek, and knock. one instruction for each loaf. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Given, ask, it shall be given unto him. Seek, he said, and ye shall find. The Bible says, you know what the Bible says in Isaiah? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You get close to the Lord when you seek him. He says, you seek me that way, you'll find me. You know what he says? Basically, he says, you'll have so much of me, other people will recognize you got me. They won't see the channel, they'll see me. You know, over there in 1 Peter, when a woman is in subjection to her husband and he's not living with the word, she maintains a chaste conversation and a meek and quiet spirit, which allows him to see the hidden man of the heart. And that's what gets him under conviction and brings him back right to God. You seek the Lord while he may be found. And you've got enough of him in you that when you speak to him about Jesus, they know you're not just talking about some religious ritual you do down at the Baptist church. They're talking about somebody you are intimately connected with who is speaking through you right now while you're talking. And he says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And we saw in Luke chapter 24, that Holy Spirit opened those scriptures to those guys. You see, there's one request for each loaf. And they all are operable at the time that you and I are speaking with people. The Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ that the Spirit of the Lord was on him, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding. And that's what we need to understand their need, and that's what they need to understand the Scripture that we're giving them. So the three loaves represent the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And listen, apart from these three, we have nothing to set before them. Nothing. If you want to meet the spiritual needs, whatever they may be, of a lost person or a saved person, if you want to meet the spiritual needs of your friends, or somebody that comes to you in a journey, or somebody whose path you cross, the Lord said, pray, ask him for the three loaves. And those loaves will fill their spiritual hunger. You see, what's wrong in the charismatic church, they pray for more of the Holy Spirit so you can all look at them and say, see me speaking in tongues? Ha ha ha, it's all about me. No, Jesus said, don't come to me and ask for these things. For you, ask so that you have something to give others. I'll take care of you, but I need to give you something so that you can fill their spiritual hunger and so that you can quench their spiritual thirst. Listen, I believe, looking at this passage, that we can follow the Lord's teaching. And see the spiritual result that He promised. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Just stay with it. Randy and I were talking the other day about preparing sermons, and he was telling me on an occasion where he started early in the morning, late in the evening, his sun's beginning to set, and there's still nothing on the paper. And we look at that and figure out why is that? We're sitting here begging the Lord all day, I ain't leaving till you give me something. But you know something, by the time we stand in this pulpit, we got something. You know where that comes from? Comes from our Father who gives good things to His children that ask Him. Profitable. Nothing for us to hammer out a sermon and get up here and just spout off our stuff. And then you say, well, that sounded pretty good. Does nothing in your life. Boy, but when the Spirit of God gets in it. Change your life. See? I believe we can follow the Lord's teaching and see the spiritual results that He promised. I believe that our lack of ability at times to set something before our friends, saved or lost, can be attributed to our failure to follow the Lord's instruction when He taught us to pray. We've learned something today. We've been taught by the Lord how to pray. Now let's go and do what He said. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to study the words of God. How pleasing it is to have the Scriptures open to us by your Spirit. Father, we are absolutely incapable. Incapable. of accomplishing the spiritual tasks that your bread can accomplish. Now, Father, this message ministered to me in a great way. We've often said, if you help the pastor, you help the church. But I believe you wanted us as a church to hear these things, because I believe you wanted to help others with the same thing that you've used to help me. And I'm thankful that you did that. Lord, help us not to be goofy in our understanding of what we've read here today. It's practical. It's real. Help us just to go and do what you said. Do it the way you said. Help us not to get into the ooey-ooey and crazy. Just right there. Just very practical. So learn to live by these things in a way, Father, that's pleasing to you, that's in accordance with your word, that accomplishes what you want. I know these folks that are here today want to be used. I know that about them. Hear their testimonies. They want to be used to help fill the spiritual needs of other people that they know. And now they have yet more insight on how they can be used to do that. First, by praying, help us, Father, to do that. Now your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I did not preach the gospel here today, but I talked about it. Talked about how Jesus Christ saves people's souls from their sins. You're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ, but perhaps you'd like to know Him. And you need somebody to that's been to the bread, that's been to the Father, that has Jesus Christ and the Word of God, the Spirit of God. I tell you, our associate pastor, Randy Knuppel, standing in the back of the church right now, would be glad to show you. In just a matter of minutes, isn't your eternal life worth 10 more minutes of your time? You're here today without Jesus Christ. Say, you know what, preacher, I want to hear that gospel. I want to hear that gospel. If you do, would you do this right now? I usually say, raise your hand. You know what I want you to do? Everybody else is looking down. Why don't you just get up out of your seat and go to the back? He's back there. Because right now, just lift up and walk out of here. Go back there. If you came with a friend or came with a spouse or whatever you did, grab him by the arm and say, I don't know this man, but perhaps you do, and I need to talk to somebody about Jesus that's been with Jesus and can help me. Anybody like that? Just get up right now. Go back there and say, come on, let's talk about Jesus. I want to know Him. Perhaps today you're here and you heard something and it has opened your understanding in a way that will help you. You've got a friend. Somebody's in your mind right now that has come to you that has a spiritual necessity, and now the Lord has given you a way through importunity to approach Him and get the loaves, meet the hungry need of that friend. If that's happened to you today, would you raise your hand, slip it up, and slip it right back down now, just real quick. The reason I'm saying that is I simply want to pray for you specifically. Father, you've seen a few hands raise up. There's somebody pressing on their hearts right now. Somebody that you've given them, and they've seen some instruction in the Word of God that can help now. I pray, Lord, that you will show them how to take this message and apply it to the situation. And know, Father, when they have the loaves to be able to speak to their friend about Jesus Christ, knowing that they have been given, that they have found, and that it's been opened to them, and they can meet the spiritual necessity. And then arrange the time, Father, perfectly, so when they do, their friend they talk to is hungry for the loaves. And for those who have simply been instructed and a time will present itself, may we never forget these things we've heard. May we live by them for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.